Hello, folks. My name is Henry Rollins, and you are listening to Ghostly Talk. Touch your friends, touch yourself, but don't touch that dial.
Okay, boys and girls, gather around, story time. A long time ago, there was a family dinner, quiet kiddies, the relatives would all come there to dine.
Shut up while I'm singing!
Thank you. Weird things happen when families get together, especially when the family is mine.
Good old Uncle Ned dropped dead in the chestnut dressing. Grandma Rose turned up her toes following the blessing. After that, Aunt Hattie croaked next to my sister Betty. Dear old Dad then took a cab. Things were getting messy. Grandpa Brown then went face down in his spuds and gravy. Uncle Matt fell just like that, crushing Cousin Davy. Cousins Phil, Arlene, and Jill became the next dead trio. And as my Aunt May passed away, she sang "Oh Solo Mio." Seems like one bad piece of luck followed up another. Uncle Mace fell on his face and belly up went Mother. Then great-grandma Abigail hit the floor and splattered. After which third cousin Mitch belched so hard he shattered. When brother Biff became a stiff, all my kin had perished. It's a moment I confess I really rather cherished. Golly, what a kid can do, even a beginner. Can he bring some arsenic to the Christmas dinner?
Hi, this is John Zappas from the Paranormal Research Center of New England. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Ghostly Talk. These guys are great. Have a lot of fun with them doing their show. And feel free to contact them if you ever need anything. And feel free to contact me if you ever need anything. Be willing to share experiences and talk about things. And like I said, listen to my buddies here at Ghostly Talk.
Skate,
yeah, it's all skate.
It's all skate now.
It's all skate now. Just the girls. Just the girls. Just, no, it's all skate.
Only couples.
No, we were just a second ago. I said that. I mean, yeah. You said that. Who said that? You said that.
I think
you,
Tim said that first.
I my antlers popped right up on that because I was okay. Here's some useless trivia about me. I was a DJ at a skating rink for like 3 years in high school. That was my high school job. So yeah, it was all skate, and that's how I learned the hokey pokey and all that stuff, man. But I remember it was like just the girls only. Just the girls only. You play some girly song, you know, and then just the guys only. You play some, you know, girly song.
Yeah. Couples, and you play some girly song.
Yeah. But, no, it's that was a very interesting job I had. So that's why when you said that, Tim, I was like, whoa, hey, man, blast from the past right there, high school, man. This is Ghostly
yeah,
Talk.
Yeah, I've had a few of those minimum wage DJ jobs, too, boy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I am Doug.
I'm Will.
And we have the mighty Tim Yancey on the phone. Dear friend of
I'm
the show.
I'm Tim.
You're Tim.
Let's try that again. We'll get it right this time.
Let's do that.
Let's try it again.
All right.
Here, you start, Doug. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
I'm Tim.
And it's wonderful to have Tim on the air tonight. In news today.
You're not.
Now, we were talking, like, well, before we went to break, was, you know, we had about five, I think we got to like 4,000 things you're working on right now, Tim, or things you've been doing. We're going to try to get to about at least 6,000 or 8,000, I think.
Well, the one thing listed in the itinerary of experiences that Tim has had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One thing piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I am also, besides being interested in scrying in Nostradamus, mm-hmm. and and Edgar Casey, too. But
don't forget S&M, either.
I'm also into cryptozoology.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you had a sighting that you wanted to report.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. you know, you go around, you do a lot of research, and you meet a lot of strange people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend of mine who works in the research department down here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they're involved in management and land conservation with the government. And he got in touch with me about a report that they are actually looking at. Where do you start with this? This was a lady right after the hurricanes down here in Florida, which is a whole nother story I'll have to tell you about one of these days.
Okay.
Her name was Jennifer. She's 30 years old, and she had her two children in the car with her. She was driving along in Lakeland, Florida,
mm-hmm.
of all places.
Is that the UFO? Is that Lakeland? Is that the UFO place, or is it Lake?
I think you're thinking of Gulf Breeze.
Oh, I'm thinking of Gulf Breeze. Okay, never mind. Lakeland, okay.
At least you're close.
I was thinking of Gulf Breeze is what I was thinking of. But yeah, no, Lakeland. Good, good.
Yeah, she was driving along a rural stretch of what's called Moore Road in Lakeland. And she was driving back from a friend's house. Her daughters were asleep in the back seat. Mm-hmm. It was getting dark, approaching dusk. And as she was traveling along, she saw something in the ditch alongside the roadway. She looked over, and whatever it was also noticed her about the same time, because whatever it was rose up from the ditch. She slowed down almost to a stop, but she was a little bit too scared to come to a complete stop.
Mm-hmm.
And as she paced along the road there beside this thing, its eyes went from what she described as being serious looking. She said it was trying to catch frogs, of all things, on the side of the road. It was focused on that, and it went from a real serious look to one of just complete bewilderment when it saw her.
Okay.
He was as surprised as she was, and it was getting dark, but she could still get a good look at this. Now, she described this creature, and this is a very recent sighting, as being 6 to 8 feet tall.
Whoa.
And it was covered with brown hair about 2 inches long.
Okay.
She also noticed that there was white areas around the eyes, but she didn't notice any nose or ears on it.
Okay.
But she did see the lips of this creature, and she said it was just like the texture of a dog's, like of the paw pad of a dog or a cat.
Okay.
And that it had its hands, when it saw her, it was kind of surprised, and it drew its hands up next to its body. And at first, she only started to tell friends and family about what she saw, and then she finally decided to go public with this.
Okay.
And her name is Jennifer Ward, and this is one of the most recent sightings that happened up in Lakeland,
mm-hmm.
up there. So now there's a group called the Pangea Institute, a gentleman by the name, what is his name? It escapes me right now. But they're doing a sighting or an investigation there along the roadway. They're going along looking to see if maybe there was footprints or any hair that may have snagged on a branch, that type of thing.
Mm.
And you had Lauren Coleman on your show also, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay. He was also involved in this, and he's starting to get involved with it. He says that things like these weather events, like the hurricanes that we had, often result in sightings because it causes a migration in these types of animals or whatever they might be.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that's amazing about cryptozoology that I learned from Lauren was, it's a lot. It has, I don't know how to phrase it completely, but it isn't just like, let's try to find, like, you know, weird stuff. Let's try to find weird animals and stuff like that. A lot of it has to do, a lot of understanding of nature and understanding that these are simply could just be more or less just different types of animals. They're not aliens or something. I mean, they might be. Who knows? I mean, let's keep our minds open here. But generally, you know, with the discussion we have with Lauren, for example, I mean, we learned a lot of different things. I mean, and I mean, all chuckling aside, too. All right. But he asked us when we had him on. We had him on, and when we were before the show, we were talking with him, and He's like, well, how far can we take this, guys? And we're like, well, hey, man, you know, the sky's the limit, bro. You can do whatever you want, right? He's like, well, I want to talk about Bigfoot sex. And we're like,
okay.
Hey, that sounds pretty hot to me. Let's do it, right? So we, I'll check on the side. You know, if you want to hear people, just go ahead and download the Lauren Coleman show we did.
Amazing.
It was an amazing discussion we had, but it really, he really taught us a lot about just, it's a lot more than knowing how nature works, the forces of nature. And that's a perfect example right there, Tim, of, hey, look, we just had a huge hurricane come through. This causes a migration. And that's just like what animals do. Animals do the exact same thing. I mean, you know, people do the same. People do, retired people do the same thing. They're called snowbirds, right? They go down to your beautiful state, Tim, and hang out and drive you guys nuts. And then at the end of the year, they come back to Michigan. So
yeah.
It's the same. It's the same type thing. We'll go ahead.
But you also, you said that. Did you saw a skunk ape?
I haven't personally had a sighting of a skunk ape.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I've been on a few little expeditions out into the Everglades. We were talking about the hurricanes and the tornadoes and things. You know, that stirs up wildlife, and they tend to travel to get settled, like you said. Florida is a subtropical state here, and there's a huge amount of wilderness here that's known as the Everglades that is perfect range for these types of animals to exist in. So I think that there's probably more validity to South Florida sightings and also some that you get up in the Northwest, simply because of the habitat is right, as you guys were talking about. You talk about a mountain gorilla that lives in Africa. Now, they need about 10,000 square acres to range in, you know, a single animal. And these animals seem to have that type of area out there for them.
Well, that just illustrates this, like I said, this marriage between the two. I've always, you know, with cryptozoology, you know, when you say the word cryptozoology, if you say that word to somebody, if you don't hear the word they're gonna respond with, oh yeah, man, Loch Ness monster, man, you know,
or Bigfoot,
chupacabra,
yeah,
these
right.
You know, these myths and legends. And that's the thing, is like, that's how even I equated it until I talked to Lauren Coleman, was okay. This is more of a study. This is more of a natural earth science thing we're studying here. And, hey,
sure.
Let's try to understand what these things are doing and see where they may be. Try to find some patterns here and possibly see something, right?
Sure. Cryptozoology simply means the science of mystery animals, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think of Loch Ness and Bigfoot and those types, but they're actually involved in discovering all types of new species all the time.
Yeah.
If you think of a person that does the same thing with plants, you go down in some of the rainforests of the Amazon, and they're discovering new species of plants and trees every day down there, and they're doing the same thing in this field as well of cryptozoology.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that there are parts of this planet that you can't get to. That's
sure.
The most amazing thing
and,
right there.
Yeah, and when we were talking with the Dr. Little about...
Yeah, Gregory Little, yeah.
We were talking to Gregory Little about the you know, Edgar Cayce and the Atlantis and the
Looking
records
for Atlantis,
and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said somewhere, I believe it was somewhere in South America, there's a place where people figure that might have been one of the places where the records were kept that Edgar Cayce was talking about. And
right. The
problem is you just simply can't get there. And if you do, if you do get
you
there...
You might not come back.
Yeah, well, you might not. But if you do manage to get there, you can't possibly do a thorough investigation. It's just such dense vegetation.
Well, you have the natural forces you're dealing with. And like when we talked with Dr. Little, one of the big problems they had also was the people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people...
And political.
Yeah.
You've got political, you've got natural forces, you've got people, you've got... It's amazing the different... you know, the walls.
Well, yeah, the dynamics involved with trying to discover something like this. That's why I say there's places on this planet that, well, maybe the natives and the locals that are there, yeah, they know what's that, but it could be a matter of they want to keep it secret. They don't want people to know what's going on. They don't want to turn it into a tourist spot. And I can respect that in a lot of ways. I really can respect that because we've seen, you know, I've never been there myself personally. But I have a lot of friends that have been there, and Egypt is like one of my favorite things on the whole planet. And really, I mean, their number one source of income in that country is tourism now. They embrace that. That's great.
Yeah.
I don't think some people really embrace something like that as much. Even scientists that want to come in there and just research and learn, they want to keep things secretive. That's a big dynamic I think that people have with these certain things.
Well, that's the big thing about, like, the search for Noah's Ark. Whenever they have the specials on TV about it, they always say, oh, yeah, but the... Is that in Turkey or something? Some place where, and they go, oh, but you know, if you were lucky enough to get a pass to get to go there to that mountain, whatever it is, it's only for 7 days or 14 days,
yeah,
and
you can't get anything done. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems they have with that. For example, is just scale the mountain to get to it.
Right.
You can't get to it. You can't get to it. It's so. It's in the middle of a friggin' mountain. If you've seen the pictures.
I've seen the pictures.
It juts out of a mountain. How do you get to something like that? Right?
Well, when you talk about things in Egypt, like the pyramids and that, they embrace that as a tourist attraction because that's something that is known. This sighting, now here's a woman who comes to the government folks and reports, I saw a Bigfoot. It was trying to catch frogs on the side of the road. I got a good look at it. And now you're a person, say you're a spokesperson for, like, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission or the water management agencies down there, and a reporter comes to you and says, hey, we heard you guys received a report. How are you supposed to comment on something like that? Because the pyramids in Egypt, it's a known thing, and people can go to that and touch it. It's tangible, you know. But somebody cites a Bigfoot, for instance, or even a ghost. And when you think about government folks that are having to comment on this, what can they really say?
Well, I would it if they said at least the truth. Yes, we received a report.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's coming to that these days. This is a report that was filed down here with the government agency that's in charge of dealing with the Everglades as far as conservation and that, and they're taking a serious look at it.
Oh, yeah.
I went up to the guy's office, and they have the report on file. They are not commenting about what they think about the sighting, but they are stating that it did occur. Apparently, she thinks the sighting was genuine, but that their agency has received no reports or tangible evidence of such creatures that exist. So it's getting to that.
Thank heaven.
You know, I'm glad that we brought this up, because when we go to break next time, there's something I want to bring up. I want us to find a link that we have to go to the message board for.
Okay.
One of our other field reporters posted it up in the message board, and I watched it yesterday at work. And it's very interesting that, you know, with this topic of, you know, well, they're still covering things up. They don't want to talk about these things. I think I have something I want us all to listen to. You can listen to it off the air because we're kicking you off at 7:30.
Wow. But well, we have another Floridian coming on.
Well, yeah.
I heard.
It's Florida night here on Ghost Talk, apparently. We're flying down to the beautiful state of Florida.
Virtually.
Well, it's not too beautiful right now.
What's going on down there? What's happening down there?
I was kind of like you guys. I got to see this from another perspective. This hurricane that came through was the most ferocious, I guess, or the most intense hurricane that's ever been recorded when Wilma came through here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in North Carolina still, up there with George and them, and I was watching the news of it and all this stuff going on, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, my house is back down in Florida. It's not boarded up. I'm not there, and there's a good chance I may not be able to get there. So I called the airlines, and I tried to come down a day early, and they said, nope, we're scheduled. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I arrived in Florida, scrambled to get boards up, and it hit about midnight that night. And it had to be one of the most intense experiences I think I've ever been through. I literally had to hold on to our front door to keep it from coming off of the house.
My God.
You know, I had nailed 2x4s. Actually, I took a section of wooden fence off of the fence and strapped it to the back and nailed it right to the house. I had half-inch plywood on all the windows. But the front door is the last thing you want to board up, you know, because in case of fire or whatever, you got to get in and out.
Yeah.
So I didn't do the front door. I figured that the latch itself would be good enough to hold it,
yeah.
And it wasn't. I'm talking about a one-inch deadbolt and a regular door knob would not hold that door on. That's how intense it was.
My
down
God,
there.
That's insane. And you held onto that door.
It was crazy.
How long were you holding onto the door?
Hour and a half.
Oh, God.
It was the worst part of the storm. We got hit dead center here. The eye came through, and you had 25 minutes where you could go out and look around and survey, and all the trees were down in my yard. Sections of roof, my neighbor's roof was gone. There were boats flipped upside down in the middle of the road. I mean, it was insane. And then you started feeling that wind picking up again, and you knew, okay, here comes the backside. And it was time to get back in and go another 90 minutes.
My God. You know, and that, it's scary. It's really scary.
It is when you hear folks say that there's a trend of this that's going to happen in the next 10 years, the next decade or so. They think there's a cycle of this, you know, and it just goes to show. 20 years ago, they said, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. Hurricanes are nothing really but heat vents. They capture heat from the ocean and disperse it. That's what they do. And these things come across, and as the ocean waters tend to increase and get more and more warmer, you get more and more of these hurricanes that come through.
Well, there's also the problem, though. They've just, like, that's a really big story that's been going on for, like, probably 12 to 15 years is global warming.
Right.
Yet the recent trend, or the for about the past 2 weeks in the news, is the mini ice age story.
Right. That's been going on and a great subject of debate for a long time, too. And I'm no weather expert. I can just tell you that I was hit with 4 hurricanes last year and 2 this year. You know, that's about all I can say. And Florida, South Florida, I live in West Palm Beach, and it is literally a disaster. I went for 2 weeks. South Florida went for at least 2 weeks without power. And it was the first time you could see the Milky Way at night, for instance, because of the light pollution that's down here, you know. And it was a scenario of trying to find gas and being in a line for 4 hours because there was only one station in the county that had a generator. Trying to find things like food and ice was impossible. You're living on a generator with one light and a fan hooked up to it.
Yes, you don't melt.
And I'm talking about 2-3 weeks in a row. And nobody was really prepared for it.
Yeah.
As much as they talk about hurricane preparedness, it was martial law. Everybody had to be off the streets at 7 o'clock, for instance, until sunup the next day. You couldn't be on the road or you get pulled over.
Wow.
And you really had to keep an eye on what your neighbors were doing because it was a case of every man for himself.
I was really blown away when we had our great blackout of 2003, later, like in the summer of 2003 here in Michigan.
Oh, the multi-state blackout.
Everything went out. It was out for about a day and a half, I think, at the most. You really embrace electricity once you don't have it, obviously. You've heard that before. It's true. But the same thing happened here in a much lighter sense. They did say, okay, look, it was eerie to drive down the road and see nothing, no power whatsoever. I'm talking nowhere. I mean, we have blackouts and brownouts here where one side of the street's lit up and the other side isn't. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of weird. But when the whole place is down for the count, right, it's a very eerie feeling.
And they had that time in Florida and for two
weeks.
Louisiana, Mississippi.
Yeah. All these states are getting hit and from, you know, not multiple days, multiple weeks.
Well, I can tell you this. There are a lot of folks that are living in Florida, myself included. You know, when I first came down to Florida, it was beautiful. It was beautiful here. A tropical state, there's plenty of room for everybody, but in the last 10, 20 years, the population has gotten double, triple what it used to be. The sun, you remember when the sun used to be yellow?
For instance?
We used to color it yellow. Now it's this big white glowing orb up there, and South Florida's hot. It's very hard to adjust to that, and you have hurricanes coming through every year. A lot of folks are pulling up stakes, you know?
I would have already done it. I would have already done it. I'd have been back up somewhere, you know, back here in good old home Michigan or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to wonder. It's like living in the middle of a bowling alley. You know, sooner or later, one's going to roll through and you're going to get hit.
Yeah. That's exactly where it is. You guys,
well, it's not safe being the 10 pin anymore.
No.
Oh, you'll be happy to know the mini ice age phenomenon appears to be tied to ocean currents, not global warming.
Okay.
So the ocean currents are doing something to create this mini ice age, they think. Maybe.
What are they dancing? What are they doing?
I don't know. They're slowing down.
It says it's a consequence of global warming.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it is related to
global warming. The ice caps are melting, so it's pushing all this cold water into the streams, which is cooling these ocean currents.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And which is going to cause basically Europe to go into an ice age.
Well, it's Europe.
Right,
so what?
And you have what's called the Gulf of Mexico. These are tides that flow up and down the coast and control these temperatures. When these ice caps melt and there's a temperature change like that, those tides stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates, just wreaks havoc out as far as weather and environment type stuff goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm at the point where I'm starting to think, maybe I'll move into the basement downstairs with you guys. Get out of Florida, you know?
I got to rescind a comment I just made. I got slapped by Doug.
Why?
I was just kidding about Europe. I love Europe. I think Europe's a beautiful place, and I love that place.
Phobos lives in Europe.
I know. I'm just joking around. I was just messing around. I assure all of our European listeners, I do care about you.
Ghost Hunter lives in Europe.
And if it gets cold there, I'm going to really feel bad. That's going to really suck for you guys. So, all right.
Well, we've got cold weather gear we can ship over there.
Yeah, we'll
so,
be more than happy to send a couple coats over there and some hot chocolate. We'll do what we can to help out, man. I mean, it's serious. There's just so much going on down there. I mean, we really feel for you, Tim. We hope everything's going to work out. Hold on to that door. Jeez, old Pete, man.
We're resilient. I've actually got some videotape that I shot. I'll bust it into a media file and send it up to you guys so you can watch some of the fun.
Yeah, if you don't mind, that'd be totally cool.
I know we got a few minutes, so before we go, I wanted to clue you guys in on Devil's Tramping Grounds, and I know we probably don't have enough time to go into that, but George and I, while we were up there, went up with Mary, had a total blast. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is.
I'm not too familiar with it. Why don't you give us a high level?
The quick version. You ready? This is an area that has been discovered, and it dates back into when the first explorers came over. It's a circle that's out in the middle of the woods. It's probably about 100 feet across where nothing grows at all. It looks like a crop circle almost. The trees are perfectly circular around it. And the legends say that if you put an object inside of it, that object will move out of the circle. And no animals will ever travel into there. You can't even find insects in this, and it's just a bare patch. And so we went to visit this place, and it's a huge legend that I heard about when I was a kid and always wanted to visit. And we actually planned on shooting a documentary there. And what I found when we got there was that this thing appears to be a huge portal, just a place of energy. And it was so disruptive. How can I explain this? Okay, you guys will be with me on this. You know how you travel around and you're in the city and you keep a zone of awareness around you? You're aware of what's going on?
Yeah, we live in Detroit. We live in Detroit. Okay. That zone of awareness is about 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You're keeping an eye out on things.
Oh, yeah.
That became so disorienting to me, that particular place, that my little zone was about 6 feet out.
Oh, wow.
If that makes sense to
you.
Absolutely. Mary was over talking across the circle, and I couldn't even hear what she was saying. We never got video shot because we could not concentrate to the point of turning on a camera and getting the job done. It was just an incredible place to go and experience that kind of a feeling, because I'm as psychic as a wet mop, you know?
Yeah.
And to go and feel that and have an experience like that was really awesome. But we got to meet with the owner of the property and that, and
for folks that are interested in that, you might want to go to a really cool website. It's called devilstrampingground.com.
Okay.
And you can learn more about that. And I'll send you some video of that as well.
Please, please, if you can. We'd like to talk to you more about that possibly at a later date.
Sure.
Sounds really cool. Tim, we do
sure.
have to hop off here, though. We got to move on to our next guest. But, man, again, you know, it goes without saying, but we're going to say it anyways because, you know, we're not professionals. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you've done for this show. We really appreciate your help. You're a dear friend to us, and we don't forget that kind of stuff. We always
do. Well, you know what's scary about this is you guys are just getting started, and I can't wait to see where you're going to be in just a few years down the road.
The winery, know? The winery probably. Or
yeah, we'll still be here.
We like it here. It's fun, you know. But thanks
well, people are taking notice. You know, you guys were on Coast to Coast. You've been involved in a number of projects, and things are just going to keep going, man.
Well, we always want the number one thing is we have a great time doing this, and we found, like Doug said earlier, you know, this whole thing called Ghostly Talk has become a project for everybody, not just for us. I mean, we kind of produce this show, and we put this thing together and do it every week. But generally, this thing is run by people now. We take, you know, hey, talk to these guys. No problem. We'll have them on. We'd love to talk to
yeah.
them. So it's really something.
All right, fellas. It's been a pleasure talking with both of you. It's good to hear from you again, man.
Yeah, no, it's totally
and
great.
And you too. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Right,
we'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, speaking of which, that's Tim of timyancey.com.
Yes, yes.
Who is linked
up on that website's a mess right now. That's one of the other things that got blown away with the hurricane. So I'm working on server issues.
Oh,
and
no.
I basically have a blank page there, but it'll get better.
Definitely. We have you linked up on the front page of our site. Somebody wants to go there, just look for Tim Yancey in red and click on it.
And then when it
right
starts
there.
To come back, you know it'll be full of all kinds of good stuff.
Excellent. Absolutely.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. We'll talk
guys,
to you soon.
I just have one request.
Yes. Yes.
As you guys go out, please don't play any disco Christmas music.
Uh-oh.
There won't be. Next break won't be.
Oh, the next break is not disco Christmas.
Your wish is our command, Tim.
All right, folks. We're back to all skate.
Bye, Tim. Take it easy, man.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye. Bye. Man, what a cool guy. I love Tim. He's just so much fun. He's always got something going on, man. That's what's so cool. The guy's a mover. Even with all the crap he's dealing with right now, it's so great to see him still keeping his passions about him and just doing his thing still.
And he gets, he's created quite an interesting
yeah.
Place for himself. He's been around in the paranormal world for quite a while now,
and
the movers and shakers, he knows them.
He is one of them. That's
and
the thing.
He's become one of them. Yes, that's
Got something interesting after the break. I want to play.
Okay,
let's see if we can find it first.
If we can find it on the site,
we should be able to find it. I know exactly where it's at. Will, take us away here, man. Let's get out of here.
Cool.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we'll be right back after this.
Going to die. Going to die. Saying a wing crazy. Well, the workshop is gone now. He decided to bomb it. Everywhere you'll find pieces of Cupid and Comet. And he tied up his helpers, and he held the elf hostage. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got dancer and prancer with an old German Luger. And his eyes got stature just like Freddy Krueger.
Ghouli.com. That's www.ghouli.com. And with Ghost Magazine, you're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Will.
A little Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Ah, is that what that was? Awesome. That was fun. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk, and we're back, of course, but we're working on getting Vance on the line.
Well, I'm on in a second.
Yeah.
No problem. Just hang tight.
But there was something that Scott was talking about.
Yeah, if you guys want, can you please play this? It should come through the audio. We got the audio still up, so it should play right through. It's something interesting. One of our field reporters named Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
Posted up on the message board. And we were talking about in the last segment, first of all, that more or less, you know, the government, a lot of entities, groups, organizational bodies don't want to acknowledge things like seeing Bigfoots and stuff like that, or even seeing ghosts and stuff like that. Well, it made me think about this particular thing that Poppy posted up on our message board like last week or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and play it? I'm gonna answer the phone.
Okay.
Go ahead and play it. All right. Kill the mics. All right.
And we'll play this.
Well, we know that this next story may cause some of you to snicker, but tonight some military men and women swear that they are getting a dose of New Orleans' infamous spiritual life. What they have seen, heard, and found has made many a seasoned soldier a believer. CBS 5's Janet Yee reports from New Orleans.
From the beginning, New Orleans has had a reputation, from vampires to voodoo, a city of sin.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you, Satan, to leave the dark areas of this building.
The Sophie B. Wright School, evacuated of children occupied by soldiers, many of whom feel they're not alone.
Laying in my sleeping bag, I opened my eyes, and in the doorway was a little girl. It wasn't my imagination.
I was just using the restroom, and I just seen like a little shadow kind of moving in front of me.
California National Guard, anybody here?
California National Guard soldiers were first on ground to protect and preserve.
I got him on it!
Soldiers charging forward in search and rescue efforts. All the while, it's not just images of Katrina haunting them.
There's no more to any of the soldiers in this building.
New Orleans is also very ingrained in voodoo, cannibalism, witchcraft.
Now, you may think I'm crazy, but the first time I walked into this bathroom, I too felt something. And it was long before I'd heard any of these ghost stories. There was a cloud up in the wall in this corner. You see the hole in the ceiling there? That's freaking a lot of people out. I just felt this really creepy presence. On the other side of that wall is a supply closet, and that's really freaky.
I was standing in there getting cleaning supplies, and there was a little girl laughing.
This is indeed a dark city, and we're bringing the light. You know, wherever soldiers go, there goes the word of God.
Indeed, at this marina, boats were tossed like paper, a piece of which could not be seen for miles. Yet soldiers found this, a Bible, laying open to Revelations 10 and 11.
It talks about a great storm that lasts 3 days, that washes away a city, and that there are bodies in the city.
Uncanny, unbelievable, and not the first time.
It was a church that the north wall had completely blown down, and there at the front of the altar was the church's large Bible opened up to the exact same passage.
At first, some scoffed. Then, putting it all together, the presence of something, if not just the power of nature, cannot be scorned. In New Orleans, Janet Yee, CBS 5, Eyewitness News.
Interesting. It kind of ties in with what we were talking about with Tim a few minutes ago.
Why, yes, it does.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Vance, are you there, by the way?
Yeah, man, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, cool. Just chill for a second. go to the waiting room. Have the girl rub your back down for a few minutes, okay? We'll be right with you, all right? Actually, we let you hear that, though, too, Vance.
Did you hear that?
Heard that report, didn't you, Vance?
Yeah, actually, I was listening to it while you're playing.
Okay, cool. Well, we brought it up because we wanted you to hear it too. If you got something you want to say about it, feel free. But it ties a lot of things in we've been talking about on the show. Obviously, a few minutes ago, we were discussing how these organizational bodies don't really want to acknowledge it. Now we have the California National Guard saying, "I'm seeing ghosts in New Orleans. I'm seeing all kinds of things here," right? Which, hey, that's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
That's amazing.
Now, and there was a few comments there. Well, go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, there were. But but no, what I like is I like having that story because with that story filed, along with all of the other, I mean, a lot of the other there were stories of heartbreak, stories of homelessness, stories of, you know, very unfortunate, you know, death.
Oh, yeah,
things like
absolutely.
That. But there was also stories of hope,
mm-hmm.
and stories of family and coming together and an outpouring of incredible support from the nation and the world.
Yeah.
And I had overlooked that story. I hadn't even run across it. And I run across a lot of stories.
I saw it yesterday on the message board. I was just grazing through, and I saw this link. I'm like, I'll check it out.
So that's actually very encouraging to me.
Well, it's an encouraging thing. Yeah, I mean, we have a huge governmental body right here, the California National Guard. who's in there trying to help out, do whatever they got to do. And these people are verifying they're seeing stuff. And along with those creepy things about the Bibles being open to the same page, there's all types of things going on there. There was a few comments made that kind of made me snicker a little bit with the preacher guy. Now, by the way, if you guys want to download this or check it out also, just go to our message board. It's under the general discussion tab. It's from Poppy. Just look for the name Poppy. It's like right at the very top right
it's
now.
It's like one of the first three or four things.
Really interesting story. Like I said, the preacher, the U.S. military preacher guy kind of cracked me up with his comment of, well, you know, this is a dark, evil city. This is a dark, evil place. And we're the light. We're the light. Soldiers bring the light. We're the word of God. And,
I don't want to
offend anybody, but I just, you know, hey, I think you know where I'm coming from. Anyways, let's move on. I thought it was an interesting article. I wanted to share it with you guys. I thought it was pretty cool and very interesting to see these people, soldiers, trained soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in straight lines and everything is organized and put in bags. But they're seeing these things. They're seeing weird things go on.
Because they're also human beings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
so.
People and spirits and souls. And therefore you get this stuff, too. I mean, it happens to a lot of folks.
That's also proof that I actually do look at the message board, despite popular belief. Oh, you don't look at the thing. Yes, I do. I just proved it to you guys. I do read the message board. So, very cool. Let's move on, though. I'm on the line right now.
Yes.
We have the man. Let's just put it down like that. We have the man. I mean, he is the man. He is another one of our good friends. I mean, this
Most
has been...
certainly.
This has been a cornucopia of ghostly talk friends tonight. It's just been this buffet of friendly people that we've come across over the last couple of years. And Vance is no less than one of our best friends on the show. Vance, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back. Good to hear from you guys. And I'm going back to the cyber green room to get my rub down.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, good.
Good.
Good. Good. Yeah. Tell Marcia we said hi. Tell her to go easy on you. She's a big girl, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's always a pleasure to be on the show, and you know, echoing what Tim was saying earlier, you guys are just, you know, growing in leaps and bounds, and it's just such a pleasure to be associated in any way and have the opportunity to come on the show and babble, and it's just fantastic. And
I don't think I've ever heard you babble one time before, Vance. Everything you've ever said to me, at least.
No, that was my job.
It's our job. That's what we do, Vance. Yeah, I think we have the roles reversed.
But I think he has it reversed because, to me, sitting here where I'm sitting, it's an honor to be in any way associated with Vance West and Trinity Science.
Absolutely.
And
fascinating work.
To have the opportunity to have, you know, virtually met you and be able to do the projects that we do and learn from you and get to talk to you every so often is an honor to us.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, Trinity Science has done nothing but wonderful things, I think, as far as work goes. And like Doug said, it really is an honor to be associated with you guys. And we've done the two open remote viewing projects, which were totally, in my opinion. I mean, Vance, what do you think? I mean, I think they were completely successful as far as a learning experience goes.
They were astounding. I mean, not just from the, you know, the learning experience, but also the actual results were, in my opinion, just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to do something where we're on a talk show and presenting materials where you're not able to actually sit down and instruct people, but just getting out the information and kind of describing how it would work and putting up some hacked documents and some, you know, really bad video clips and thinking that maybe someone might be able to get a glimpse of how, you know, might be done. And then to see the actual data that we received is just amazing, in my opinion. It just goes a long way to say that, yeah, this is something that can be easily learned, and I think people pick it up. It's a lot more innate than anything, and once people kind of get exposed to it, they realize, oh, okay, you know, I've kind of done something like that before.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're just kind of giving it a little bit of a formal touch to it to maybe give them some hints and guidelines in which direction to go.
Well, in regards to ORVP2, Electric Boogaloo, by the way, that it was really an amazing experience because on that project, if you guys remember, our old school GT listeners who were around for that, like, what, a couple months ago? Something like that.
Beginning of the year.
Yeah. I was one of the what did you say, guinea pigs, let's just say. I was one of the people that actually tried my hand in this. I'm the first one. Myself and Doug were the project managers on this, so we didn't do any remote viewing whatsoever. On the second one, you did yours. Didn't you do that also, Doug? You were
No, I didn't submit.
You didn't submit?
No.
Okay, but I submitted, right?
And I should have, but I was... I'm bad.
We can talk about this in retrospect, because at that time in my life, when we did this, I was on midnights at work.
Right.
So the only quiet place I could go to, really, was work to do this. So I planned to go, okay, you know, the only, you know, when you're working midnights, it's like, there's like, it's a ghost town. There's no one there. And I'm, at the time, I was put right back in a corner somewhere where nobody could see me, nobody could bother me. So I said, this is the perfect place to do this thing at. Where I could relax a little bit, get my thoughts about myself, calm my nerves, and do this particular thing. I can talk about this stuff, like, you know, after the fact, right, Vance?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Because
the approach that I used, it was very simple. I didn't, like, you know, like Vance says, I didn't, like, phase out and start drooling on myself or anything like that. I literally just sat down, you know, got a cup of coffee, cooled out, finished my work so I didn't have anything to distract me, and just sat down and said, okay, and I just started started drawing, you know, just some type of object, some shape, something, right? And then I started just writing down some impressions that I had of this target ID. And you can, obviously, you can go to the site and still see the results from ORVP2. We had some astounding results, like Vance said. Some of these things, even from ORVP1, was astounding in its own right. As far as I'm, I don't think my name was on there, was it, Vance? We didn't put names.
I think pretty much everyone submitted anonymous, except for a couple people possibly. But
The thing that happened was, you know, the picture that Vance showed us. This was a target ID. I nailed at least a small part of it. Which, I mean, actually, it was a pretty prominent part because it was the actual roadways.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, if you go on the homepage right now and go to Open Remote Viewing Project 2, Electric Boogaloo or whatever we put on there, you'll see the picture that Vance, that was a target ID, and you'll see the skydivers and all the pretty colors and stuff like that, but you'll also see the road work under them. And for some reason, it was very cool. I kind of nailed the road work, the geometric pattern under these people. It wasn't, and that's kind of what I nailed. And it was really an amazing thing for me to do because I'd never done it before. I never tried to actively remote view. I don't think I could, like, you know, find people or anything like that, but it was still a very cool experience to do that. And
right. That's
going to lead us to why we brought you on, or why you called and said, I'm going to be on your show on Sunday. And we said, yes, so no problem at all, Vance. We'd love to have you on. We're working on something else now. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be it's actually turning into something quite mammoth. I think your listeners and certainly anyone who chooses to participate, which I hope, you know, as many people as possible do choose to participate, it's going to be quite something, because it's already, I already have, the team I work with and the team I'm so honored to work with are already submitting session work on these target IDs that we're going to present to your listeners later on here.
Okay.
And it's already spanning multiple IDs, so your listeners and anyone who chooses to participate, they're going to have a handful of IDs that they can work. It's not just a single ID like we've done in the ORVPs in the past. This is going to be a lot of data that's going to be compiled and looked at and you know, put together an analysis and a report, and we'll come back on sometime in the future and show what we have.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's already quite something.
Okay, I know it was ironic, really, because we had some scheduling issues, and I'm like, you know, we've been meaning to have you come on the show and discuss remote viewing and possibly the plans for ORVP3, right?
Right.
And I just happened to email you just out of the blue this week. I said, I'm going to email Vance, because Vance is the king of email. I expected a reply within, like, seconds. So I'm like, I'm going to email Vance, right? And you know, hopefully he'll get back with me and see if he wants to come on this Sunday. Well, I sent the email off, and then I'm like, you know what? I emailed so many people, like, over the last couple of weeks. I've been really watching my spam filter, too, right? So I've always been finding just little important emails just floating around in there amongst all the porn notifications and people telling me I'm fat and people telling me I'm ugly and all this stuff, I find important stuff that I need to read. So
those are the only emails I send, by the way.
What?
No one's telling you you're fat and ugly.
You're fat and ugly.
Yeah.
Love dog.
No,
you know.
I don't do that.
But you don't need to be fat and ugly anymore. You can take this pill.
Oh, yeah. I get tons of that kind of stuff.
I know.
Email.
So,
yeah.
But the thing was, is I sent this email off, and maybe about a half an hour later, I went through my spam filter. And guess whose email was in there?
Aha.
No, it wasn't a reply from Vance for the email I sent.
It was a preemptive email?
It was a preemptive email.
Wow.
It said, hey, I was wondering if I could come on the show real quick here and work on something with you guys. I mean, what do you got going on this weekend? And I'm like, okay. I mean, a little bit of intuition there. I don't know what it was. Maybe we were on the same wavelength, Vance, but I found it kind of creepy yet kind of funny at the same time. But we have you here nonetheless to work on this thing. Do we want to get into dynamics of what we're going to be doing with this little? I want to call it a mini project. I mean, is that what we can call it?
Yeah, it's going to be a mini major project. To be honest with you, it's going to be it's not going to be an ORVP in the sense that it's not going to be the anal retentive double blind scientific process that we usually go through where we have people tasking an ID that we don't even know who the tasker is, and everything is done so anonymous. This one, it's not going to be that stringent as far as the protocols. However, it's still very scientific in the sense that the remote viewers themselves, people participating, have no idea what the target is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what we would consider a viewer blind experiment. But it's going to be very big as far as submitted data, because already, I don't know if you have the link activated on your site yet.
Have not done that yet. I read your email when I got home here, and we had about 5-10 minutes to get on the air. So what we're going to
do,
we'll take care of that for sure.
Can we do it now?
Right, because I think that right off the bat is going to, well, you know, it's nothing shocking on there, but right off the bat we have 4 target IDs.
Well, what we'll do, I think, if this is cool, Vance, is when we go to break here, we're almost at the top of the hour. Anyways, when we go to break, we'll get everything set up and we'll launch it up on the front page for people to check out. If that's cool.
Okay.
Interesting.
We'll go through and discuss.
Yeah, because I saw you're like, I hacked into your website again, and I got a new page set up, and I'm like, oh god, we're gonna have to link that somewhere. That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, well, we can't do it right now. We gotta go on the air. So what we'll do is when we go to break, why don't we take a break right now? As a matter of fact, let's do that. Let's get this thing rolling. Is that cool, Vance? Can we take a quick break?
Yeah, excellent.
We'll take a break. We'll get this link up for people to check out, and then maybe this will be a little bit easier on the listeners, I think, as far as like a visual and audio guide if they want to try to do this thing. Because this is going to be opened up again, right, Vance?
Absolutely. It's going to be opened up to everybody, anybody, and whoever else we can find on the street.
Hey, you, come here. Get rid of that shopping cart. Get that thing out of here. All right, now we want you to...
Here's a pen. Here's
here,
a paper.
Start drawing. Go to work. Let's take... I'm going to go to bed.
No. Let's go to break.
Okay, let's go
to break.
We'll
collect our wits. We'll get that link up.
Yeah, let's do that.
And that's what we'll do.
We'll be right back.